Hi, everyone. Welcome to my podcast, where I explore the science of health, human performance, and ultimate potential. My name is Dr. Greg Wells, and I'm a scientist with a PhD in human physiology. I have served as a professor in kinesiology at the University of Toronto and as a scientist in translational medicine at SickKids Hospital. I've also worked with dozens of Olympic-level athletes through the Canadian Sports Centre Network. In this podcast, I do my best to take complex research and make it understandable and actionable for you to improve your health and well-being and perform to your true potential at whatever it is that you care about the most. In each show, I chat with leading experts in the field of productivity, sleep, nutrition, physiology, and psychology, as well as some of the most exceptional performers across all disciplines. Together, we explore the amplifiers that propel us towards high performance and overcome the obstacles that challenge us. Ultimately, I want to share 1% gains that can make a massive difference in your life. Thank you for listening in, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. Let me know your thoughts and comments on social at Dr. Greg Wells. All right, let's dive in. Welcome to another episode of the Dr. Greg Wells podcast, where we delve into the realms of health, performance, and the science of thriving in a bustling world. In this week's episode, we have a conversation with Jason Thompson, a maestro in the art of strategic storytelling. Jason's journey began 3 decades ago in a room filled with 400 engineers where a small wardrobe malfunction turned into a powerful lesson in the significance of emotional connections. Yeah, you heard it right. A zipper mishap became the cornerstone of a philosophy that emphasizes owning your story and leveraging it to forge meaningful connections. Fast forward to today, Jason is focused on the transformative power of storytelling with a rich history and collaborations with industry giants like Disney, Warner Brothers, and Electronic Arts. Jason has honed his craft to a fine art, and his expertise doesn't just stop at storytelling, it extends to helping organizations optimize their strategies, thereby boosting results and optimizing positive impact. Now, Jason's approach to storytelling is not just about narrating tales. It's about innovative frameworks developed from years of experience in diverse industries, including film, television, and advertising. His ultimate goal, though, is to empower individuals and organizations to build confidence, clarity, and conviction. As I chat with Jason, we explore the depths of strategic storytelling and uncover the secrets to making emotional connections that can catalyze success in both personal and professional arenas. And remember, just like Jason checks the zipper for every keynote now, it's the little habits and checks that can pave the way for grand successes. So we always try to make sure that there are takeaways, and there are certainly a lot of those in today's session. Hope that you enjoy this conversation with Jason Thompson. Jason, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
I'm so happy to be here, Greg. Thanks for inviting me.
We were just chatting about our mutual love for the mountains. Super happy to connect with you and just wondering how things are going. How's your summer? What have you been up to? How's life with you and your family?
Life is groovy out here, Greg. It's always a joy to be able to play in the mountains. If you don't like playing outside, it's not a good place to live, but combos of fishing, hiking, cycling, you know, both road and mountain biking has made for a fun summer out here. And from a family standpoint, yeah, I was sharing earlier, soon to be an empty nester as my youngest is off to university. And I don't know, man, we'll see what that means, what the next chapter of my life is, because this has been a great chapter being a dad. It's one I loved. And I mean, it never closes, but this particular chapter in the big picture story is ending for sure.
Well, chapters is how we got connected and curious about how you got into storytelling. Like, how did that become the thing? And I would just love to hear the origin story, because obviously, like, story is massive for everything. And it's a universal human truth for, you know, tens of thousands of years, probably. How'd you get into that?
So I have been a storyteller my entire life, as most of us are. It's just been a vocation that I have followed from a professional standpoint. So over the last, say, 25 plus years, I have been a storyteller in the advertising industry, in the film, television, video game industries, and as a professor in the education industry. And so when we moved out to the Rocky Mountains here a number of years ago, those conduits for sharing storytelling weren't as available as they were in, say, a big city like Toronto. And so what I did was take all that kind of learning and expertise and experience and say, all right, how can I package it and share it and help other people in an interesting way? And so that's where my current role, where I launched my own consulting practice in strategic storytelling, came from. And so now I work with leaders and organizations and help them understand how to use storytelling to get the impact and the outcome they're looking for.
We go back to basics, and I'm curious from your perspective, like, what is a story? I'm fascinated and read Lord of the Rings probably 50 times. My kids just binge watched all of the Harry Potter stories again, right? Like, story plays a massive role in our lives. But from your perspective, like, what is it if we go back to absolute basics?
So I really believe and like to say that storytelling is about making emotional connections with others. You just talked about The Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter. These are fantastic series, with long narratives, complex characters, beautiful settings, and those are fantastic stories. But so are the 7-second little stories of something, a moment that happened. And if you can share any kind of story in a way that makes people feel something, then I think you've got an effective story. You and I are both parents, so we want to avoid those kind of stories like when our kids kind of come down in the morning, "Dad, I just had this dream. Can I tell you about it?" And it's like 10 minutes of nothing that doesn't make any sense. And it's horrible, right? So that unfortunately manifests itself in business a lot. Effective stories are those that are well told and that makes people feel something. It creates an emotional connection with someone else.
Interesting. And what are some of the characteristics of stories that give us that emotional connection or make us actually feel something? Because I launched into a new series recently and I got nothing. Like, there's just nothing there. So what's the difference between a story that captures your heart, soul, and you're with it forever, over and over and over and over and over again, versus ones that just don't grab you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for me, I suppose there are three big things. One, you have to have a compelling character, someone you care about. Secondly, you have to have some kind of setting or place in which this character is finding themselves. And the third is that you have to have a challenge in the way of that character's goal. So, I mean, this is classic storytelling, you know, right from the very beginning. Joseph Campbell really, you know, popularized it with the hero's journey. But, you know, you referenced Harry Potter. I mean, J.K. Rowling uses this formula, you know, to a T. So does George Lucas in Star Wars. You need a protagonist, a main character, whose journey you have some care for. You want them to succeed, and then there has to be barriers in the way of that person actually succeeding it. So when they do finally overcome it, we all feel good about it. So if you have a character, you have a setting, and you have an obstacle that needs to be overcome to reach a goal, you're in a good stead. You're on your way.
Can you expand on the hero's journey a little bit for me? Just because I know that that's a device that's been used a lot. I've tried to follow that to some extent in some of the things, but I'd love to hear about it from your perspective, because it's pretty ubiquitous, right? And a lot of the greatest stories that have ever been told.
Yeah. There are lots of different elements. There's 12, I think, different stages associated with it, you know, that involve like the meeting of a mentor. So you think of Star Wars, right? Like, you know, Luke is at first, he thinks, "I'm just an orphan shoveling sand. I've got nobody," right? And then he meets, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, who tells him actually, you know, he's something more. And then he meets other people and learns new powers, right? And then he crosses different thresholds, as Campbell calls them, of opportunities to try something where you fail and learn until finally you kind of, you know, meet the big antagonist, the big force of whatever kind. In a loose case, it's obviously Darth. And you overcome that and you go back to your place of origin with new learning. And so that's kind of in a tight nutshell, with not all the details, kind of where things are in that hero's journey. I like to really simplify it down to three things when I'm chatting with people. And so I say, what was, what changed, and what is, or what will be if it hasn't happened yet. So what was is like the ordinary world, like, you know, Luke on Tatooine shoveling sand, right? What changed is, you know, meeting, in this case, his mentor and going off on you know, fun journeys and adventures. And what is, he's a Jedi, right? Or what will be, you know, we're going to launch a new product or, you know, whatever it might be. So, you know, what was, what changed, and what is, and what will be. And the key to all of that, Greg, is what changed. There has to be some kind of change in a narrative arc to make it interesting. So that change could be, you know, meeting that obstacle and overcoming it, or meeting that obstacle and not overcoming it, learning, going up against the obstacle again, you know, not overcoming it, learning something else, and meeting a third time and reaching it. So that idea of change, it's that contrast between what was and what is that gives the story its biggest points of interest.
Is there a way of making stories about the people that you're interacting with? Because I imagine that if you can make someone feel like they are part of a story, or they are the story, that then gives them the opportunity to overcome challenges, or have the confidence to overcome challenges, or for them to change, or for them to see the future, or, you know, for that transformation to happen for them. Is that possible? Or is there anything we can do around that?
Not only possible, my friend, but critical. If you don't actually make your audience the hero, you're not going to get a whole lot of buy-in or people listening to you. You know, we all kind of get tired of other people talking about how great they are. We can do those in different ways. But if you really want to activate some kind of change, you have to make your customer, your client, your whatever, whoever your audience is, the hero. And so I learned from working in animation that you need to spend 50% of your time planning and 50% of your time doing. Because if you start animating right away, it's time consuming and costly, and you could have something that doesn't make any sense in the overall big picture story. So for me, one of the first things I like to do with anyone is do an audience analysis and say, who is it that you're speaking to, right? Mm. Who do you want to work with, help, support, share something, sell something, whatever that might be. And so by understanding what their needs are and how you want them to feel, what you want them to think, what you want them to do, and what you want them to say, will really tuck back into that idea of ensuring that they are the heroes of the journey that you're taking them on. You just happen to be the expert that has the idea, the service, the product, whatever it might be, that solves their pain, that makes their life better. Does that make sense?
That's super interesting. And now that I think about it, like some of my greatest interactions are when someone's like, have you ever felt like blah, blah, blah? And they're like, yeah. And then like, well, then you can jump along and you can follow. Is that right?
100%. Yeah. I mean, it's the best commercials or product placements are all about solving a problem that you have. It's not talking about how great their product is. Their product happens to do that for you, but it's actually the problem that they're solving, be it a messy house or, you know, a stinky dog or whatever it might be. It's solving your pain and making you the hero in the outcome, which is a clean house or a nice smelling dog, to continue on these bad examples.
My dog does not smell very good right now. It was up at a cottage for the last few days and it smells horrible. So I'm with you on that one.
Okay.
Some of the challenges I have found, because I'm a speaker, I'm an author, I'm a coach, and so I'm totally down with everything that you're saying. It makes a lot of sense to me. It is, however, sometimes challenging to think of the story or realize the story or find the story in the journey or in what's going on or in the challenge. When you're caught up in it, it might just feel like you're stuck, you're broken, or you can't make the progress, or it's really hard, or it's not working. How do we find the story so that we can become the hero? Like, how does that work?
I love it. I love that question. It dovetails in so nicely with the IP that I created from all these years of working in story fields. And that is, there's three parts to it: find, create, and share. And if you don't do all three, you're not going to get the outcome that you want. And the one that most people I find forget about is the finding. They just want to start creating a story. We got to get something out there, right? Yeah. Or they want to share with them. We got to share with our customers what we're doing. But if you don't actually find the story first, you're not going to create it, and you're certainly not going to share it very well. So,
interesting.
Yeah, the kinds of processes I use are something I call the 5 P's. And I ask people to think about, who are the people, where are the places, what are the problems, what are the superpowers, and what's the perspective that you've gleaned from going through all of those things. So when you think about your own life, right? Working in the medical field, when you think about the experiences you've had with, you know, really high performance Olympic athletes, and then, you know, people at club levels, when you think about your speaking engagements, when you think about anything that's kind of come in your dog, the fact that you have a dog, right, a cottage, all these things are part of what in film we call your backstory. And I believe we need to get real clarity on our backstory so that we can figure out what are the elements that we want to take moving forward. And I love to align backstories with values. because as we learn things through life, you know, be it from our parents or experiences that we have, there's usually a set of values that are guiding us as individuals. Certainly it's true for organizations. And so when we can link our stories to the superpowers that we have gleaned from the problems we've overcome and the perspectives that we bring to a situation, all of a sudden we can start saying, well, here's my take on based on, you know, what my backstory is. And so that's how you begin to, I've simplified things, but that's how you begin to find your story, is by looking backwards.
Does any of this help us to develop the confidence to act on the story? And the reason why is because it's one of the questions that I get a lot is, okay, Greg, I'm going in for a speech, or I'm going into a town hall, or I'm launching a new product, or I'm going into a meeting, or I'm writing a test. And I've heard a lot, you know, should I fake it till I make it and act confident? Like, how do we find that actual confidence to be able to, you know, execute on the story and that transformation that is part of that story?
Yeah, that's a great question. I totally empathize with how people feel about that. And I mean, I think that's true for all of us. There's two acronyms I would share with you. One is that I have, you know, developed and created over lots of time of experiencing and listening to what, you know, these very same things that are coming from people. So one is POP, which is published over perfect. I think we can get caught up in, like, you know, trying to be perfect. I got to have that, just that right photo and just the right comment and just the right post or just the right, you know, to your point, like town hall conversation or whatever it might be. And honestly, publishing. So you and I are publishing right now, right? We're having a conversation. It's out there. You're going to share it with your audience. It will be published. Is it perfect? No, I certainly haven't been perfect so far. I doubt I will be for the rest of it. But it's more important to actually publish, you know, my thoughts and share my ideas with you and your audience than it is to be perfect and then share it with you. The other acronym I would share is this idea of PIP, which is practice in public. We sometimes, you talked about confidence. How do we get more confidence? By practicing in public, right? So it's easy for me to look at the mirror and give, you know, that town hall speech and say, gosh, darn it, that was great, right? Yeah. Or say, oh God, it's awful, I boom, right? One of the two, however we, I guess, you know, the stories we're telling ourselves. But when we practice in public, then we can gauge what worked. Did the laughs come at the right spot? Were people nodding their heads or staring at me confused? And so while it takes some confidence to publish, and while it takes some confidence to practice in public, the only way we get better, the only way we build our confidence, for me, it's confidence, clarity, and conviction. The only way we do that is by publishing rather than being perfect, and by practicing in public. And that could be speaking, that could be writing a blog, that could be sharing a social media post, that could be creating a newsletter. Like, there's all kinds of different ways that we can practice in public.
Something that's been in the back of my mind since we started chatting, it's actually based on a conversation I had earlier today being interviewed on another person's podcast. And part of it had to do with the stories that we tell ourselves and developing awareness around whether or not the stories that we tell ourselves are actually true or not. And I got caught, because here's one for me. Like, I'm getting ready to go traveling to go do a speaking event. And I was telling a friend about this trip, and I was like, yeah, I find, you know, when it's hard to stay fit when you're traveling. And they looked at me and they're like, really? And I was like, oh shit. They're like, where are you staying? I was like, the Hilton. They're like, does it have a gym? I was like, yes. Does it have a pool? Yes. Can you order a salad and some salmon instead of the club sandwich? They're like, yes. So they're like, what are you talking about, man? I was like, I'm completely making something up to fit a narrative that I've constructed for myself that clearly is not actually true when you deconstruct it. So is there anything that you can provide me with that? Because I'm leaving as soon as we get off this phone call, and I need to go travel for a few days and get my ass to the gym when I'm at the hotel tomorrow morning.
That's a juicy one, Greg. Fundamentally, the stories we need to tell have to be true, because people can find out otherwise. When it comes to the stories we're telling ourselves, I mean, that gets a little bit harder, like just being honest with ourselves. But I love kind of re-examining things from the perspective of I get to versus I have to. Mm-hmm. You know, I can versus I should. And, you know, much smarter than me have talked about, you know, that the should being a tough word, but I should eat salmon instead of the club sandwich. But man, the club sandwich tastes so good, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I can make that choice to do whatever I want, right? I guess there's no quick fix. I think if there was, I probably, you know, would be talking about the quick fix of like the stories we tell ourselves, you know, instead of the stuff we're talking about. But I think it's a combination of, again, being mindful of our backstory and thoughtful of like our outcome, where we're going. So, you know, when it comes to I'm on the road as well, and I make the same excuses and sort of like, well, really, what's the most important thing to us in that moment? And I guess I would say, in lieu of everything that's gone on in the last little while, I think we as individuals and collectively as a society would do well to embrace the spirit of kindness. Mm. And so a little bit of kindness to ourselves, I think will also go a long way in terms of answering that question and the stories that we're telling ourselves.
Yeah, no, I love all of that. And I appreciate your answer, which is awesome. I'm also really fascinated by the fact that you really leaned into the idea that it has to be true in order for it to work. And that truth is an element of a great story. Even if it's, you know, a story about, let's say, Star Wars, we find an element of our own truth in those stories. That's why we resonate with them. And you've also talked a lot about clarity, which is the ability to see and to navigate and to know where to go. I just wonder if you could expand upon that a little bit. And I know we're getting close to hitting the limits of our time together, but I really wanted to sort of understand that a little bit too, because I think that truth and clarity are so important in the world right now. And you've mentioned them, so I thought I would just jump in and see what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the truth for me is, I mean, it's one of my values, and it's something that I think if we lead with that, then we can always feel good about what we're sharing, right? I mean, no matter what we're doing, we're sharing ourselves in some way, right? Be it as a physician, be it as a storyteller, be it as a dad. It can be easy to have, you know, little lies to get us through certain things. But, you know, if I were to say, yeah, I was like a director for a Pixar film, and be like, hey, great, let's book this like Pixar director guy. Like, pretty quickly, you could tell I wasn't actually a director on Pixar. I've worked on some really groovy projects with some really big companies, but I haven't done that. So that would not, you know, serve me well at all. I think sometimes there's the tendency to overinflate our accomplishments in the hope that we will get more clients or, you know, get more likes, whatever kind of measure it is that we've got. And the reality is we have to come from a position, I believe, of truth, because then we can always speak with conviction and confidence around what we're doing. From a clarity standpoint, for me, really that backstory and understanding who we are and who we want to be is a big part of ensuring that clarity comes through. Because if we're making things up or we're struggling, have you ever had one of those times when you're speaking and your inside voice is going, what the heck are you saying right now? I don't know where this is going, right?
Yes.
If you have that feeling, you can believe your audience has that feeling. And so, you know, the clarity standpoint comes from always speaking from a position of truth, but also this idea of practicing. I don't know how many people have, you know, said to me, ah, these Steve Jobs, Oprah Winfrey, Richard Bray, like pick whoever you want. They could just get up on stage and just like, oh, they sound amazing. Yeah, because they've practiced a ton. And so, you know, that clarity comes from practice and from having some others' opinions to say, is what I'm saying making sense? You know, am I too much in one way or not enough in another? So testing it is also a really good way to go. I mean, as a fellow speaker, I don't know about yourself, but in almost every kind of, you know, talk that I do, I'll add a new little element just to see how my audience reacts. And if they're leaning into things, I think, great, that's a subject matter I can explore more. If there's confusion or people seeming disinterested in a certain section, I'll probably pull that back. Truth is something inherent in all of us. Clarity is something that comes from practice.
Yeah, 10% new every time you do a speech, for sure, just to test. Also just keep things fresh and keep you sharp, and love all of that. It's super helpful. If people want to get started thinking about story, about being better storytellers, about crafting a story that they could use to help other people, how do we get started with building that out?
Well, so I could answer this two ways. One, you know, you just have to start doing it, and there's lots of tools out there. And two, I mean, I have developed frameworks specifically for that because I find it's really confusing, right? Often when people say, just write a story. In fact, what got me into this space, Greg, was seeing in a variety of business magazines that storytelling's the new marketing. I thought, oh, that's interesting. You know, I've worked as a professional storyteller in, you know, film, TV, and video games, whatnot for a while. What do people mean from that perspective? And I found most people are saying, well, you got to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Well, that's true, you know, but actually getting something that can resonate, you know, through. I mean, I saw a study through Stanford University, I believe it was last year, that said there's 60,000 bits of information, content coming at us in the Western industrialized society every day. How are we heard amidst all of that? And so, you know, the kind of frameworks I've developed for people to tell stories, I say, well, I'll help you tell a story in 7 seconds, 30 seconds, and 180 seconds. Wow. And by going through that kind of process, you can decide, like, have I got a real short period of time in which I just need to, you know, get something across quickly? Have I got a little bit more, or can I actually expand this? Mm-hmm. In every case, it's meant to usually have a broader conversation. Because I think really that's what's driving a lot of what we do is conversations. And so those entry points are frameworks I've developed from working in all those different industries that I talked about at the start, but making it digestible so that people can try them and test them. I firmly believe storytelling is a creative process, and creativity involves iteration. So we create something, we try it, we test it, we iterate based on what we learn, and then we put it back into the marketplace again. And so that would probably be how I would best sort of answer your question without delving into all the different frameworks and theory behind what I do.
I love it. Tell us about the new book that you're working on.
Yeah, thanks. It's called Own Your Story, and it's rooted in this whole idea of, like, how do you find, create, and share your story in a way that builds an impact in the way that you want. Storytelling is a wonderful thing for us just to relax and listen to, but as this book is directed specifically at leaders in different all sorts of different organizations and industries, there has to be some kind of outcome. So we want from our story to actually create an action that fulfills an outcome that we have. And so that's why I call it strategic storytelling, so that we can get really purposeful about who's our audience, what is our message, and what is the action that we want to have come from that message being shared.
Love it. If people want to learn more and get in touch with you, where can they find you online?
I appreciate that. It's Jason Thompson, all the letters, H and P in there, Thompson, .ca. And through there, you can find my links on LinkedIn. Every week, I post a Monday Mountain Minute, as I call it, with a small story tip. So you could, I guess, search for me there. And then the usual is Instagram and Facebook as well.
That's awesome. Jason, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us. And I can't wait to hang out in the mountains as soon as possible.
Me too, Greg. I hope you come out here again soon. We can do some riding and hiking together.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Dr. Greg Wells podcast. If you found this show informative and helpful, check out my blog at drgregwells.com for additional insights and resources on health and human performance. I update the blog a couple times a month. To stay up to date on the latest tips, articles, and videos, be sure to follow me on social at Dr. Greg Wells. My goal on social is to keep your health and wellness and positivity at the forefront of your mind, and so I would be thrilled to connect with you there. If you found this episode helpful, please consider subscribing to the podcast. That helps us out a ton. And leave a review. Your feedback is greatly appreciated and helps me to continue to produce valuable content that's relevant to all of you. Please feel free to share this episode with your friends and community. That helps a ton as well. And that brings this week's show to an end. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Have a great week, everyone.